Focus on Lord. Maybe we don't walk with Him, but we follow Him. That seems to be the pattern of the Bible. A few weeks ago, we talked about Abraham. God called Abraham and said, "You get out from this place where you have lived all of these years, and you follow me to a place that I will show you." God confronted Moses in a burning bush, and he said, "Now you follow me from Midian back to Egypt again, because I'm going to use you to set your people free." King David described the Lord as his shepherd who led the way so that David would know where to follow. And in the Gospels, Jesus constantly called people to follow him. When he began his ministry, he called a few fishermen and said, "You follow me and I will make you fishers of men." He walked by Matthew at his tax collecting booth and said, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and followed. As the crowds began to grow, Jesus declared to those who were listening, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And even Paul challenged the Corinthian believers with that verse that I have always said to me is the most frightening verse in all of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 11:1, where Paul declares to the Corinthian church, "You follow me as I follow Christ." Now, why do I find that so frightening? Because Paul was saying and calls us to say to the people around us, "You watch how I follow Jesus, and you follow Jesus the same way that I do." Wow, what a challenge. When you think about what defined Joshua's life, it was the call to follow that defined him. As a young man, he was called to follow Moses' leadership as his second in command. When Moses died, God called Joshua to step out and become the new leader of the Hebrew people. But Joshua was not at all sure he was capable of that kind of thing. Where was he going to find the strength and the wisdom and the courage to guide this people in the conquest of the promised land? And the Lord provided the answer one evening as he stood on the banks of the Jordan River. And this is what God told him: "The only way to lead is to follow. The only way that you can be the spiritual leader that your people need and lead them into the conquest and show them the way to go and guide them all the way to the end is to follow wherever I lead you." It was all about following the Lord. It was true then. It's true now. The only way to live a Christian life that is going to be flourishing and thriving is to make the decision, "I will follow where He leads." God does not call you to walk side by side with Him as an equal. He calls you to follow Him as Lord. That's a lesson that Joshua had to learn, and he learned it well. And because he learned that lesson of following, God used him in a particular way. And it all began there in Joshua chapter 3, as Joshua was preparing his people for the destiny that God had promised them from the very beginning, from the time he liberated them from slavery in Egypt all the way to that day as they stood on the edge of the Jordan. "I will give you the land that I lead you to. I will guide you in its conquest. And I will provide you with a homeland that will endure forever." But there's some lessons that Joshua learned that are the same kind of lessons that you need to learn and I need to learn, because they're so important for us as we learn about what it means to follow the Lord. So let me lead you through some lessons that we learn from those few verses we read together, and then I want to lead you to that power passage that you need to remember. The first thing Joshua learned was this: follow where the Lord leads and don't look back. As he looked at the land across the Jordan, Joshua was reminded that he had been in that place before, 40 years ago. when he and Caleb were among a dozen spies that were sent in to spy out the promised land and to discover whether God could lead them to a conquest of this new place that he had promised. And you remember how that story went, that Joshua and Caleb were the only two who were confident that God would give his people the victory. They knew if God has promised it, God will provide. No matter what the people of the land look like, no matter what the obstacles are in front of us, God will provide. But the problem they ran into was this: the other spies lost their courage. They saw the obstacles and forgot God's promise. They looked back and decided to return to the safety of the desert. Rather than take a chance on conquest, we'd rather go back to that sand that we've been walking in the middle of on our way to this place. Because they looked back, it cost them decades of wilderness wandering. They looked back, and perhaps when they went back to the camp, the other spies said something like this to Moses and to the people: "We can't do it today. Maybe next month, maybe next year, maybe before long, we'll be able to go back together." But God said, because you did not trust me, because you looked back to where you had come from, this generation will die before I fulfill my promise. And for 40 years, the people continued to wander in the wilderness. The amazing thing is, during those difficult years, whenever things got tough, they would still talk about what used to be. They would think about going back. Maybe we need to go back to Egypt. Remember what it was like when we were slaves in Egypt? At least we had food to eat. At least we had water to drink. Maybe we should go back again. After all God had done to liberate them, and after he brought them to the very edge of his promise, they still were saying to one another, maybe we should just go back again. They were always tempted to look backwards instead of moving ahead in faith. Now, it's easy for us to stand back and say, how could they be that way? But we can do the same thing and do it often. Lord, things are hard. Maybe we should go back. God, this really hurts. Maybe we should go back. Lord, this is not turning out the way we anticipated it would. Maybe we should go back. And we're always looking back and thinking about how good things used to be. This past week, I was at a meeting with the trustees of the International Mission Board, and Donnie Barger was there. I told you, Donnie has become Elvis at that place because he is Southern Baptist guru of AI. And he was presenting some things, and he kept hearing questions like, shouldn't we just avoid this altogether? Maybe we should go back. We don't need to think about that. And he was constantly saying to them, guys, this is coming. Like it or not, you better learn how to use it for the sake of the gospel. You know, we're always thinking about what used to be until we think about the things that we would give up. If I turned around and went back, what would be different? Well, I can remember when I was first on staff right out of seminary at First Baptist Church in Clanton, and somebody had spent a lot of money to buy the first personal computer I'd ever seen in my life. I'm not talking about a laptop. I'm talking about one of these big old... And I remember we sent our administrative assistants away for a week and a half to learn how to use this on behalf of the church. And they came back and they told me, they said, okay, we've learned a lot of stuff. Now you're going to have to learn how to use this. And I said, okay, how do you turn it on? And they showed me. And I flipped the on switch and I flipped it off again. And I said to them, that's all I'll ever need to know about a computer. And I walked out the door. I was ready to go back. Has anybody had their computer break down lately? Have you ever had the battery on your phone fail just when you needed it? Isn't it amazing the things that we depend upon and count on all of the time these days? And if we went back, none of those things would exist. Well, that's important, but you know what's more important? It's more important spiritually when we develop that kind of mindset, where we begin to say, I don't want the Lord to show me anything else. I don't need the Lord to guide me any further. I don't want to be challenged again. I just want to go back. But here's the thing. When the going gets tough and the challenges seem insurmountable and you think about giving up and going back, you have to remember, God never leads backwards, only forwards. God never says to us spiritually, okay, you've gone as far as you need to go, now you can back up again. He always leads us into the future that He has planned. And if you're going to follow Him, then you have to keep trusting, even when things get hard. Joshua was uncertain about a lot of things: his own leadership, his wisdom, the ability to guide his people. But there was one thing he was absolutely certain about. You can't look back. You've got to follow forward. And the second thing we learn from these verses is this: so you follow the Lord and let Him show you the way. God gave Joshua clear instructions about how to begin claiming the land that the Lord had given him. The Lord told Joshua, lead the people to where the river divides the wilderness of yesterday from the promised land of tomorrow. Lead them to that point where they can look across the river and see what God has promised. They could see the abundance of the land that God was going to give. They could smell the fertile earth, hear the rushing water, see the evidence of all of the ways God was going to bless them. It was the fulfillment of everything God had promised them and all of those years since they had left Egypt behind. And now it was right in front of them. And then you know what the Lord told them? The Lord told them to stop. Stop right here. Don't take another step until I lead you. And for 3 days, they sat on the other side of the river. For 3 days, they looked across the river at the abundance on the other side. For 3 days, they thought about all the things God had promised, but they could not move. It must have been so tempting to just wade out into the Jordan and head for the other side. To just say to themselves, we can take it from here, Lord. We'll just go ahead and we'll cross. There's no need to wait now. We've waited too long already. Here we go. But if they had stepped out in the water, they would learn some things that would be really hard to learn, which is that the water was too swift. The challenge was too big. They needed to learn that they could not claim this new land. It had to be the fulfillment of God's promise. We can't take it for ourselves. God has to provide. God would show them the way to face their adversaries. God would show them the way to encounter obstacles. God would show them the way that they were to go about the conquest of the promised land. God would show them the way, but it would only work if they let Him reveal the way. So God told Joshua, you tell your people, stop. Wait right here. And I'll tell you what comes next. Wait right here. What God demanded from the Hebrews is exactly what He expects from you and me. We have to be willing to listen for God to guide. Don't jump out ahead of what He tells you to do. Too many times we want God to reveal His will to us, but what we really want is, Lord, just give me the big picture. Just give me the whole thing. Show me what You want me to do, how You want me to go from here to there, and show me where there is, and I can handle it after that. You just show me the way. We want to be able to rush ahead to where He's leading. We want to accomplish things as quickly as possible. Lord, just show me and I'll do it. But the Lord doesn't usually work that way. In fact, here's the thing. The Lord knows that usually the blessing is in the journey, not the destination. The blessing is in what God is doing all along the way, not just where you want to end up at the end of the journey. So you have to be willing to follow. We learn to go when He says go, to stop when He says stop, to wait when He says wait. Here's the thing. God does His best work in the lives of those who are willing to follow at the pace He has chosen. Lord, I won't rush ahead. I won't look back. I'll let You show the way. So Joshua and his people learned to step out when He leads. On the third day, Joshua finally revealed the Lord's instructions. He said, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to follow the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant. You watch them as they step out into the Jordan. And when they are standing in the Jordan River carrying the Ark of the Covenant, then watch what God is going to do." And so they did. The priest stepped out. Nobody was allowed to go ahead of the ark. If they'd tried, they would have washed away. God's plan was not plan A. It was the only plan. Watch the ark. Keep your eyes on the priest. God is going to do something incredible. But never get ahead of the Lord. You and I don't have an Ark of the Covenant to lead us. Sometimes I wish I did. Sometimes I wish I had something out there in front of me where I could physically watch it and know this is where God is leading. But God hasn't given us an Ark. He's given us something much better. He's given us His Holy Spirit who leads us from within. But the instructions are still the same. Don't get ahead of the Lord. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit inside of you. And when God shows the way, you follow the way. You pay attention to what the Lord is saying through His Word. And when He guides you, you follow. But never get ahead of the Lord. But here's the bigger challenge. To follow the Spirit, you have to stay in fellowship with Christ. You have to keep your life in tune with Him so that when He speaks, you'll be able to hear. Here's the thing. God very seldom reveals His will at the spur of the moment. Oh, sometimes He does. And all of us have had those experiences where God did something very important very quickly. But usually it is as you are following Him, as you are walking in obedience, then He reveals to you where He wants you to go next, what He wants you to do. He guides people who seek to stay in constant contact with Him, who are committed to surrender to Him. So we don't pray out of the blue, "Lord, show me Your will. Lord, show me Your way." Instead, what you do is on a constant, everyday, all the time basis, you commit yourself to following. And God shows you the way. Often not in big leaps, but a step at a time. And as He steps, you follow. But you never get ahead. In fact, this is what God showed Joshua. He said, "Be extra sure that the Lord is leading." be extra sure you're following where God wants you to go. They needed to know they would not rush ahead impulsively. So Joshua didn't simply tell his people to follow the ark. He told them to follow 2,000 cubits behind the ark. Now, I know I'm the simple mind in the crowd, and I'm the only one that didn't know how far 2,000 cubits were. I had to look it up. But just in case you're like me, you need to know 2,000 cubits is 6/10 of a mile. It means that when you follow the ark, you don't get two steps behind, and every time the priests step out, you step out. It means you stay way back and watch out there, because you don't want to get ahead of where God is leading. They were told to be so far behind, there was no possibility they would second guess what God was doing. Because they were willing to wait, everything took place just the way the Lord said it would happen. Now, why did God do it that way? Because God wants you to learn the power of trust. God says the same thing to you and me. Don't rush way out ahead. Don't think you can anticipate what God is doing. You hold back and you watch, and you be sure where He's leading is where He is leading. And you trust Him. And that leads us to today's power passage, Joshua 3:4. This is what God said, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Don't think you're smart enough to do this without the Lord. You've never passed that way before. You don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know God's plan for you. You can't get there without Him. You trust the Lord. And that's His challenge for us. The same thing that He was saying to Joshua and the Hebrew people is the same thing He's saying to you and me. He is saying to us, you haven't passed this way before. The future's still out there in front of you. God's plan is continually revealing itself. Don't anticipate that you know what He's doing. Just keep your eyes on Him and let Him lead the way. You trust the Lord. And that's His challenge to all of us these days, to trust the Lord. The first and most important trust that we have to offer to Him is the trust of in Christ as Savior and Lord. To say to Him, Lord, I know I can't save myself. I can't take care of myself. I can't guarantee my own eternity. The only one who can is You. So, Lord Jesus, today I trust You. You lead the way. Or as a believer, maybe where you're dealing with a situation in your life and you're trying to figure out what in the world is going on. Maybe you're facing an obstacle that you never anticipated. Maybe there's a challenge. Maybe it's a physical issue. Maybe it's a spiritual issue. And you're thinking to yourself, you know, Lord, I've been trying to handle this all alone. But beginning today, I follow You. You show me the way. Maybe God's leading you to be part of this church fellowship. He wants you to come and become a member of this church and plant yourself here and serve Him here and walk with Him here. Is there a decision you need to make today? We're going to stand. We're going to sing an invitation hymn. If you need to trust Christ, you come. I'll be glad to introduce you to the Savior. Maybe God wants you to become part of this fellowship. Maybe there's something else you just need me to pray with you about. Is there a decision you need to make? Let's stand, let's sing. As God leads, you follow.
I find on way.
good day in God's house. I'm glad we got to be here together. Let me remind you, if you'd like to help with our summer fishtails. Thank you. If you want to be a volunteer there, 152, you can meet down there. Those of you who are going to be part of our trip to Greece, our orientation meeting is going to be downstairs in the fellowship hall. Remember, deacons, we meet at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. We're going to be in worship time. We're going to be talking about how Jesus prays for his people. So a lot of things going on this afternoon. I hope you can be part of it. Let's bow together for one final prayer and then our last song. Father, we do thank you that you lead the way. Father, thank you that you don't abandon us to try to figure it out for ourselves. But Father, you just call on us to trust you, to listen to the voice of your Holy Spirit, to let you guide the way, all the way. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You came.